wanted to introduce my friend Glenn Aubrey. Back, I guess I was about a sophomore, in high school, and Glenn had already formed a group called the Revelaires, and we would, I guess I came in a little bit later. They had another guy that I replaced, and so I was fortunate enough to sing with the Revelaires for a few years, and then Glenn went away to college, and some of us were a little bit younger, just a wee bit younger. I don't get it how our friends all look older than we do, you know, but Glenn's a good friend and has been for a long time. Sometimes it might be a few years before we talk to each other, but we just pick right up where we left off last time, you know. Those kinds of friendships that you just treasure, and Glenn is one of those. So anyway, I asked Glenn if he'd play the offertory for us, and he'll be doing that, and you'll be amazed. He wanted me to tell you that he won an Emmy Award. No, he didn't really want me to say that, but we'll talk about it later if you're curious. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Paul writes, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Romans 8:25. It happens to us all. Inside of us is a feeling, more than a feeling, a conviction that what we experience right now in real time is never enough. We long for something more and for something better. Great poets and thinkers like George MacDonald, T.S. Eliot, and C.S. Lewis have all noticed it in us. Lewis went to a German word to describe it. He called it Sehnsucht, this deep longing for what we do not have, but we know it must be out there. The Apostle Paul sees it as a universal when he writes in Romans 8:19 that all creation is waiting with eager longing. It can happen in sickness, terror, or deep disappointment. We sense that somewhere in time and beyond it, or beyond it, there has to be more. It has to be better. It is not surprising to read Paul's observation that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It can also happen in a moment of ecstasy, a beautiful concert, or a rich moment with love fills us with joy. We may even say at that moment, "It just doesn't get any better than this." And yet when the moment has passed, we quickly wonder when the next moment will come, expecting it to be even more fulfilling. It's as if what we have here and now is only a shadow of what is to come. It's as if earth is begging for heaven, and we live in the middle of the in-between. And just here is where Christian hope is to be found. Paul mentions hope repeatedly in his verses in Romans 8, anticipating something more and better. We wait, we imagine, we believe, and we grow in character. These are the components of Christian hope: waiting, imagination, faith, and character. When we hope, we do not have what we've been promised or expect, so we must wait. Not as in a waiting room where we sit and read magazines waiting for our car tires to be rotated, but as in a contest calling for endurance, as in a war still engaged. Paul likens it to the waiting of a woman in labor. This is active waiting. It is ancient Israel waiting for the Messiah with all its prophecies and sacrifices along the way. And hope means time is passing, but we must wait. But for what? What are we New Testament Christians waiting for? The Apostle Paul writes, "For the freedom of the glory of the children of God, for adoption, for the redemption of our bodies," he says. All of that and more will be ours at the return of Jesus Christ. So whatever we know about freedom or glory or being God's children or redeemed bodies pales next to that which is still to come. There is so much more ahead in Christ, and it is better if we just wait. And when we hope, we cannot see. As Paul writes in verse 24, "Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees?" There's a painting, I've never seen it up close and personal, in a gallery in London by a guy named George Frederick Watts, and it's just simply called Hope. And hope is depicted as a blindfolded woman in tattered clothes, clinging to one last unbroken string on a harp. She cannot see, but she keeps playing and listening. Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We cannot see Christ now. We can see the signs of his presence. We can see evidence of his love. The time will come, though, when we will see him, when every eye will see him. For now we may not see, but we can certainly imagine. Our hope is nourished by our imagination. And so the prophet Isaiah, in presenting hope, presents picture after picture, image after image of what lies ahead for God's people. And the New Testament does exactly the same thing. Consider the book of Revelation, a treasure impossible to read without our imagination being engaged. This lack of sight where hope is concerned comes because hope is so tightly connected to faith. This is the third component of Christian hope. We wait, we imagine, we trust. The writer to the Hebrews defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope are partners. Faith gives hope its content, its substance. Faith roots what we imagine in the sure promises of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Faith tells hope, "I know we're missing something. This can't be all there is. This is not the whole story. God has promised us more. God has promised us better." We should add one last contributor to hope, and that is character. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces," the theme for our day, "hope." Suffering over time calls for perseverance, and stamina. In the process, our character is strengthened. And one of the virtues produced on the field of hardship is hope. Not just a wish, not just a prayer, but Christian hope. This is how hope works. Paul writes in Colossians 1:27, Paul describes this hope as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is our hope, isn't he? His sacrifice on the cross, his love, his power, his wisdom, and most importantly, his victory over death. And then there are his promises, his constant presence. Christ in us gives us hope. And this hope, unlike so many other gifts, will never disappoint us. Hang on to hope, church. Let us live in hope and wait and persevere and let God work his character in us. For there will be a day when he brings those things that are best into our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen.